Hello and welcome to another fabulous episode of the Middle Country Public Library Podcast. I'm Sal DiVincenzo here with my wonderful colleague Sarah Fade.
Hello.
And Nicole Rambo.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Great.
Good.
We're going to jump right in with our segments.
Uh-huh.
See if I can get through this one. Nicole, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so in this episode, I want to talk about media literacy.
Matching topics.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
Media literacy?
Yeah.
Like being literate in using media?
Yeah.
Cool.
Because, so a couple, almost a month ago probably, did you guys do the New York Times AI quiz? So
no.
The New York Times put out this quiz and has all these people's faces, and some of them are AI generated and some of them are real. It was impossible, like nearly impossible to tell.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, that's
okay. Now they can talk about it together.
Yeah. So, and I went in, what's the word I'm looking for? Very confident in my abilities as an AI user. I like using AI, all that good
not
stuff.
Good, the good stuff?
Oh my
god. Not the free stuff?
No,
Like the weird sausage fingers?
Yeah.
The good stuff?
Yeah. Crazy. And like another librarian was like, it's really hard. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was just like, yes. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I went back, like, after I got them all wrong, I went back to see, and, like, I was, like, trying to, like, stare at, like, the shadow. Like, it's insane.
So, is it just their faces?
Yeah, it's like a, like, yeah, like a
okay.
mid shot, whatever.
Because a lot of things with the AI, the fingers, right?
Yeah, no, this was just, like, this part of them. But still, like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
crazy. Okay, so there's that. So that was happening. And then maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, another person thought something was legitimate that I don't want to say clearly wasn't, but wasn't. And it wasn't like, I think this is more where, like, the media, not more so, but, like, the AI one, like, that was crazy hard. Like, that is the future, and, like, no one's going to hold you responsible for not getting that, right? That it's just wild, truly.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
wild. But there are some things that are still in our control that we can discern if this is real or not. And so that's why I think media literacy is important, too. Because it's not, and this, like, I'm a children's librarian, so, you know, it's focused on children and teens and whatnot. But, like, this person was an adult. You know, educated adult
was. Well, it's just going to get more prevalent. So it's good to educate children and teens because it's going to be really bad when they're adults.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's going to go into, you know, we have like an election coming up. We have things coming up where it's very, people want to know things.
It's scary.
And so, yeah. And it's not going to go away. And if anything, we see that it's only going to get better and better. So, like, to do what you can now to figure out if what you're looking at is right. And these are, it's still skills that I feel like were talked about when I was in school. You know what I mean? Like, just knowing where these things are coming from, you know, thing. So anyway, so if PBS has like, what is media literacy and how can Simple Shift center it? This is more so towards like teachers, but I thought this, still some of the stuff was good. So literacy, they say, is the ability to encode and decode symbols, synthesize and analyze messages. That's like the basic. The National Association for Media Literacy Education defines media literacy as the ability to access, analyze, evaluate, create, and act using all forms of communication. It's a broad definition of literacy that includes media beyond the text and promotes curiosity about the media we consume and create. Being literate in a media age requires critical thinking skills that empower us as we make decisions, whether in the classroom, the living room, the workplace, the boardroom, or the voting booth. That's from NAMLE. And then the why, they say teaching media literacy can help combat the current misinformation epidemic and it empowers students. And then they have some resources, and we'll put them in the show notes because there's some other tests you could take you know, to see if you can figure out, like, is this website real? Like, not the AI one because that was, like, insane, but like, just even just seeing, like, can you spot how many of these things on this website are ads versus an actual story? Because sometimes you don't even realize you're reading a whole ad. You know, like, it's like crazy.
It's usually the health things, right?
Oh, yeah.
It sells, you know, like cure found for cancer or something like that.
Yes, that's
and
like,
you read through it, you're like, oh my goodness. And at the end, it's like, it's a vitamin or some supplement or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it really is crazy. And there's actually, and then to go on, I was listening to another podcast recently, the review sites that you're reading online for, like, what's the best mattress? There's like 15 or 16 companies that own all of those review sites.
Oh, they're paying too.
And they're paying these freelancers to write these articles that you're reading. And like 9 times out of 10, they're not going around and sleeping on all these mattresses. They're going and kind of aggregating other people's ratings and stuff. And even those, some of the time, are paid.
Yes.
Right. Like, it's like, I mean, it's almost to the point where you're like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know.
Well, you know what Amazon is doing now? They're using AI to actually take everybody's review, actual reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's making a,
oh, I saw that.
It's like making a concise, concise review. But it's like most people say
that. Yes, I've seen that.
And that's all automated.
Yeah. But even that, like, you know, if you start selling something, like anyone can sell something on Amazon. Yeah. And if you're like, if I start selling something like Sarah, do you mind giving me a 5-star review and saying it's great? Like, you know, you can do stuff. People do stuff like that too. So it's just be mindful of this, you know, and just try to do your research as much as you can. And time is limited, you know, like it's hard. It's hard. You know, it is what it is. And with social media, with like access to even things like these nice cameras and stuff like that, it's all looking very similar. Like everything is looking with like easy access to like editing software. You can make a little Chiron that looks quite similar to a real news. You know what I mean? Like it's very, it used to be incredibly difficult to have access to these things, but the bar has come down where a lot of people have access. A lot of people are savvy and know how to use this, and everything's getting better. So, you know, it's just being mindful of that, you know. And then there's a little like sheet of like what to look for, like who's posting this, or why would they be, who's paying for this again, like, so who owns this review site, interpretations, like how could I see it differently than them, why would they see it that way, different context, was the context of the story. So there's a little chart that goes over that, and then there's also just some books. We do have books, but even with books, you know, these things move very quickly, so you do have to see what year some of this stuff was published in. You know, to make sure that they are kind of like up to date. So yeah, I just thought it was interesting, and it was like when this happened with that person, and I was like, clearly this is fake, but it wasn't clearly. I happened to know because I had seen it before, so I knew it was fake, but it wasn't that necessarily clear, you know?
Was it an actual person that they were like in a situation?
Yeah, it was kind of what I gave the example of a news story. So a person was like being interviewed for a news story, but it wasn't a real news story. And then it was a joke. It went on too long. Like there was definitely clues.
Yeah.
You know, the way they were talking was like a little jokey. It went on way too long than a normal news story would. Like there are clues along the way, but picking up on these clues, you know, like noticing this stuff because like the Chiron looked legit, the setting, the way it was framed looked just like a news story, like all that kind of stuff. So it was interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you want to just really quick, just show us your books?
Oh yeah. So we have Understanding Social Media, cause I think this is a lot is happening on social media, obviously. So there's Social Media Savvy and then there's Artificial Intelligence. So we're getting into that, and then Learning About Media Literacy.
Cool.
So these are some of the
books.
Those
are all the kids' books.
Yeah. So I pulled the ones that are like children's books. Yeah. And then we also have some over in parents' collection about how to talk to your, you know, kids about this and like doing things together.
That's very important. That thing,
yeah. And then, like I said, we'll put the links to like some of the fun, because the little quizzes are fun too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah. And Sarah's going
to say.
Sarah's going to add on top of that.
Well, mine is a little more specific. So I'm actually, it's funny that you said about the books and everything, because we have a lot of online databases, and I'm talking about AI, and because it's such bleeding edge technology that it happens, like changes happen so fast. So a lot of times the best thing to do is to do research in periodicals. So we have something called JSTOR, and it provides access to more than 12 million journal articles, books, images, primary sources in 75 disciplines. So just so you know, that it's not like you said, maybe an editorial or an opinion based, you know, it's all research based and everything like that. So like you were talking about AI, I'm just going to go. I found this article. It's from, it is a little older, it's July 2022, and it's about artificial intelligence, deepfakes, and disinformation. So just to go over, I highlighted a few things.
Okay.
So a primary tool of disinformation warfare has been the simple meme, an image, a video, or a text shared on social media that conveys a particular thought or feeling. Russia used memes to target an election. China used memes to target protesters. And those seeking to question the efficacy of vaccines and for coronavirus and, you know. So let's talk a little bit about deep fake videos, right?
Those are crazy. Yeah.
So deep fake videos are synthetically altered footage in which the depicted face or body has been digitally modified to appear as someone or something else. They are, you know, in this article, says they're incredibly lifelike, and many fear that technology will dramatically increase the threat of both foreign and domestic disinformation. Mm-hmm. And also, something else that's been happening is, unfortunately, one of the threats besides misinformation is they use it to, like, you know, this is an adult topic, but, like, you know, they put, I think, Taylor Swift's face some adult altered images, mm-hmm. which weren't real, mm-hmm. and they were very lifelike. So, you know, you have to watch out for that because it will tarnish people's reputation.
Mm-hmm. Well, people are afraid that if there's a video out there, an image out there, that they're going to be able to take a video, quote unquote, of them, which is a deep fake video of them committing a crime. And then going to the police and saying, look, I have video of this person committing a crime. It might not be them at all.
So, I mean, this is a large article. It's 25 pages. I'm not going to really kind of go into it all, but I know. I could.
Long form content.
Read it to you all.
Yes, read it aloud.
Deepfake videos represent an obvious threat, but voice cloning, deepfake images, and generative text also merit concern. So deepfake videos include synthetically modified footage that presents alterations in subjects' faces or bodies. These synthetic videos images are developed through generative adversarial networks, and the acronym is GANs. They love acronyms. So GANs. So they're saying that a really good deepfake video takes a lot of time and money. So those are the ones that you cannot tell the difference. The ones that of like Stephen King, you know, with his weird fingers, stuff like that. Like that's not. You know, you can obviously tell. Well-crafted. In spring 2021, a TikTok account, Tom at Deep Tom Cruise, released a series of highly realistic deepfake videos of what appeared to be Tom Cruise speaking. Okay, it had over 15 million views and spurred significant public angst about the coming age of deepfake. So it showed everybody what the, what is capable.
And that was in, what, 2022, you said?
Yeah, 2021.
Forget. It's
have
like
you, well, have you seen the Keanu Keanu Reeves guy? The guy who does Keanu Reeves.
It's insane.
It's amazing.
So that is, you know, happening. It's happening. Okay. It's happening. A 2018 deepfake of Barack Obama using profanity happened. A 2020 deepfake of Richard Nixon's speech, one that he never even gave. So it's not even like they took footage and altered it. It was completely made up.
The Barack Obama, was that Jordan Peele? No, really, because Jordan, there was one who did a demonstration and they used Jordan Peele as being doing Obama, and then they put Obama next to Jordan Peele. So you see Jordan Peele and you see Obama, and when he's talking, though, it's Jordan Peele's voice, but it's Obama's face.
Well, that's another thing, is voice cloning. So another thing they're worried about with AI is voice cloning. So this allows users to mimic the voices of popular celebrities, so and other famous or rich people. So they're saying, so this is real examples. A CEO of a UK-based energy firm, that they got a phone call from someone who sounded like his boss, and his boss told him to do a wire transfer of like around $250,000 to a bank account of a Hungarian supplier. Did not really happen, but you know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they do a lot. That's a lot of, you know, worry that they're using
Did you see the vendor at PodFest? And that was the, what they were selling. They were selling the voice where you, you give them your voice and then they actually make it makes it you able to like type your show in instead of actually doing the show. And then the computer will say
like
your voice. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Who was that?
I forgot who it was, but they send they sent me an email. They sent me an email afterwards to see if I wanted a free like a beta test of it. And I'm like, no, I don't want anybody to have my voice.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And then we have deepfake images. So these are most commonly come in the form of headshot photos. Okay. So why this is concerning is because So, okay. This deepfake images have increasingly been used as part of fake social media accounts. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, everyone's getting catfished.
Yeah. So, Facebook found dozens of state-sponsored accounts that use such fake images as profile photos. And which is not good. So,
no.
Yeah. So this has been used, we used to have real images, but it's easier to detect real images.
Yeah.
So that's why this is dangerous, is because when they use a lifelike image, that's a person that does not exist in real life, they cannot tell if it's real or fake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, using fake photos allows propagandists to get around the defensive measure that we just talked about, to use photos that are otherwise untraceable. So it's really bad. So mm-hmm. someone can be like, use it for reviews, or mm-hmm. use it to be like, you know, this person did this to me, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's really realistic. Generative text that we mm-hmm. are so very popular mm-hmm. of here. Yeah. Some fear that generation text programs can be used by foreign adversaries of the United States. Hold on.
When you say state-sponsored Facebook pages, that's scary.
It is. So it could use a produced text-based propaganda at a scale. Adversaries could also mass-produce fake news stories mm-hmm. on a particular topic in a tactic mm-hmm. akin to barrage jamming. You ever hear of this?
No.
It's a term applied to an electronic warfare technique in which an adversary blinds like a radar system with noise, but it's like text. Mm. So text generators could accomplish the same as social media. So they can just hashtag. So they can just create like millions of like posts, and they're not real.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it could sway. Yeah, stuff like that. So, unfortunately, these are just some of the ways. Crazy.
What's it called? What's the new Sora from OpenAI? Is that what's called?
Sora. Sora. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Where you could just say, you know, a scene. I think the one I saw was.
Sora's video.
A couple walking in Japan during cherry blossom season, and it's like a drone behind them, and you see them walking, and it's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so if that's not bad enough, guys, okay? So all of these things are very high-tech kind of. However, there's such a thing as shallow fakes. And they represent a more current threat.
Okay.
Shallow fakes are videos that have been manually altered or selectively edited to mislead an audience. Mm-hmm. Classic contemporary example in this genre is a video that appears to show the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, slurring her words. You guys remember that?
Mm.
So,
because that never happened.
Yeah. So they're really worried about these things, you know? The second factor is maligning the use of deepfakes, is that high-quality videos are, at least for now, out of reach for amateurs. So... Mm. The really good deepfakes.
Right. We don't
not
have
so bad,
to.
But we have to worry about shallow fakes.
Yeah, okay? You know, have you seen the one with also Barack Obama where he's talking at the podium?
Yeah.
He says something and then he grabs the microphones and throws them down and walks away.
Yeah.
But it's not like his hands or anything like that. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, in the article they talk about how we can sort of combat, you know, all of this stuff. But it will take... policies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if the government is really...
They're not ready.
On top of all this
stuff. No, they're not ready.
I watched, actually, when they had that... it was like Sam Altman and some other... It was a woman from IBM and some other people in the Senate hearing. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched it and... They were like, no.
No, yeah.
We're not ready.
And plus, they're not educated on it.
I was going to say, they're going at their pace and... People in Congress, the senator, like, they don't know what is going on. They have no idea. They barely know what Facebook is by now. Like, they're very far behind. And, they have other things to worry about. No fault of any, you know, I'm not trying to, but, like, it's nearly impossible to keep up with this.
Yeah, but also at the same time, let's be honest, you know, the average age of a congressperson is, like, 65, 70 years old. You know, it's like, so, on this Rock Talk thing that you're doing on the poke face and, you know,
Well, it doesn't help.
So, you know, I would say to get more information about AI, really check out our online databases for the most current information of what's out there, what's going on. Try to use authentic sources. Like, you can see this one article. It has, like, 10 pages of, like, bibliography that he quoted from. And just get educated, because we do have... it's going to be a rough ride this election year, I think. Yep. And I do think there's going to be a lot of misinformation. There's going to be those memes. There's going to be those
pictures. It's not even going to be like deep, deep, high quality shallow stuff. It's going to be, exactly. And that's going to...
So it's really important, like you said, media literacy.
Yeah.
And just educate yourself about what's out there.
Just take one more second.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just one more second and be like, okay, wait, who posted this?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where I remember, like, one election, there was an ad of a congressman or something speaking, and the congressman was like, that's not real. That's not me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't. And they just, and I was like, ooh.
Scary. And once it's out there, like I said, take an extra second because, like, it gets out there, like, you know, there's nothing like blocking it from getting out there. So it's really unfortunately, you know, whether this should be our burden or not is something you could debate, you know, but like it is to figure it out because like people don't go to the extra step. And now that person's there trying to say it's not me. And no one cares about that part.
Yeah.
They just care about the original video. Like they made their decision. Now they're moving on.
Exactly.
And it's hard to go back and be like, no.
It is hard because it just encourages, I don't want to say conspiracy theories, but it is, this kind of stuff is sort of spreading.
Yeah.
Lies and misinformation that unfortunately.
I'll tell you what's scary though, is that so on YouTube, I like to watch, you know, when SpaceX launched a rocket, they used to post the videos and, you know, sometimes it'll say recommended and you'll go through. And it'll say the username, it'll say SpaceX, right? So you're like, okay, it's probably SpaceX. And it'll be like, you know, Elon Musk discussing, you know, breakthrough and blah, blah, blah. So you open it up and it's Elon Musk talking in front of the rocket and doing the thing. It's his voice, but he's like talking about Bitcoin and about investing in Bitcoin or something like that. And it's a complete spoof. Has nothing to do with SpaceX, has nothing to do with a launch, has nothing to do with Elon Musk announcing anything. They're taking his voice and they're selling a product through him, like illegally.
Wow.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, and you block these video and then you notice, okay, it's SpaceX 1-2. So you block it. But then because you watched that video, YouTube algorithm's stupid, honestly. No offense to the YouTubers. But then it goes back and it'll say, oh, would you like to see? And you look at it and it's like, okay, maybe this is the launch, but it's not. It's him sitting at a table talking about... And again, it's his voice, but it's actually someone typing what he says.
It's crazy. Like, everything about AI is crazy because there's other ways AI is being used that's not social media.
Right. Yeah.
And then the argument that, like, AI, it's not even an argument, it's true, that AI is biased.
Yeah.
Right. You know, right. Like, if you run it, it will be racist, it will be sexist, it will be all these things because human nature is. Mm. So it's just, there's so many crazy... Yeah. Things going on with AI right
there's
now.
I watched a TED Talk. It's not called The Social Network, obviously. That's the movie about Facebook. But it's called The Social Something. And that person did a TED Talk on like AI. And it was a very interesting TED Talk. And the two things I remember the most were the fact that like AI used to be very segmented when they were first doing research. It was all done out of universities and it was all very, very segmented. And then I think in 2017, something happened and they all started working together. And once all of these different factions of AI started coming together, that's when it has exploded out of the ability for these universities to keep a handle on it of like, you know, and they're like their funding, like it's like now it's going to these private companies, which is, you don't usually want anything to go go there, like outside of that. So I remember that. And also what they talked about, not to bring it back, but like for kids and this like loneliness epidemic, which is also with adults, AI can, like Snapchat has an AI bot, if you've been on Snapchat recently, and like
it's weird.
You can talk to it, it talks back, it gets to know you more, and it's gives you questionable advice. And if you're a child or you're an adult who doesn't have friends, you know, doesn't have good friends or like people that you feel like you can trust and talk to, and you start talking to this AI, it sounds like a friend and it just can lead you down a real wild path. And it's crazy.
It's
like,
is crazy.
It's so
stuff.
Nuts.
It is. Like there's so many different AI is just like,
it's nuts.
It's crazy.
Well, look, great topic this week.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny.
Oh, my goodness. What a great topic. An important topic, too. Thank you so much, both of you, for talking about it. And we hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, hit the like button on YouTube and hit subscribe. If you want to listen to older episodes or read our show notes, mcplpodcast.com. And again, we're going to keep an eye on this, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks...
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out for you, and we'll let
Brain
you
know. Trust right here.
We got it. Exactly.
Don't worry, MIT.
We're good. So for Sarah...
We're on it.
So for Sarah Fade and Nicole Rambo, I'm Sal DiVincenzo. We'll see you on the next show.